I want you to put your hand right on your belly right now. Father, right now, as we have entertained your glory and your presence, we know that today, God, our responsibility is to stir up our spirit. And so right now, Father, we ask that your word would begin to stir us up, God. Bid us to come, Lord, and we'll come. Like Peter, oh God, in the midst of the storm, our eyes are focused on you. And in the midst of the tumultuous waves, we see you walking on the water. And we cry out, Father, bid me come. I want to be where you are in spite of where I've been. And so now, Lord God, I purpose to set my attention upon your focus and upon your presence and upon your place. I'm coming, Lord God. Now lift your hand up and just tell him, say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm returning. I'm coming back, God. I'm going to find you. I'm going to search you out. I'm going to run you down. I'm going to track you down, God. I'm hungry for you, Lord, and I have to have you, Father. And I refuse to be refused, oh God. I deny to be denied because I'm so in love with you. I'm so thirsty for you, God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Now lay your hand on somebody's shoulder next to you. And just pray that their hearts would be opened and their minds would be open to the word of the living God, and that their focus would be now upon the word that comes to them, and that it would illuminate their heart, and there be any darkness that it would be brought into light, and that there be anything that be hidden that it would be brought to light, and that there be any kind of obstacle or separation, or there be any kind of mountain that separates us from the courts of our God, that it be removed and made low tonight in their life. And so, God, we just set our face like flint upon you tonight, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We ask it, God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Leon. You can be seated. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in the Amplified Version in Isaiah 63, and I declare to you tonight really a prophetic word that's going forth in the land. This word is going forth to the church and to those who have ears to hear. I believe it's a prophetic utterance that only those who are in tune to hear God's voice are hearing it. And simply says in Isaiah 63 and 19 this, we become to you like those over whom you've never exercised rule and like those who are not called by your name. In other words, there was a slow evolution of becoming like the culture of which we represent and are to reach. It was never ruled by God, and suddenly now this culture began to rule us. And you know, it's similar to that story about the frog. You could put a frog in boiling hot water and it would jump out immediately. But if you place that frog in that pan and slowly increase the temperature, we know that it would adjust to its environment and it would be boiled alive. And much like that frog, we've seen a generation of God's people who have experience the slow boil, if you will, of cultural adjustment and cultural change. But Isaiah 64 and 7 says, there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For a long season, we have seen the normalcy and the mediocre be accepted among our ranks, while many congregants have been frustrated by the lack of presence and the lack of anointing. Yet they've just conceded the fact that this is the way church is going to be. It was sort of what we inherited from those that have gone before us. Many of us have never known the divine interception of God that can move into a meeting and alter a man's life in a moment. That can sweep in and set free those that are bound by alcohol or drug addiction, coming in one way and leaving another. It was interesting in our worship that Leon was talking about basement revival. That's really how this ministry got its strength. It was in the basements of congregants who were hungry for more of God. The Bible is clear that Zechariah the prophet begins to declare to the people of Israel, "What are you doing?" Zechariah began to cry out and say, "Listen, you've gone halfway in building the temple. You got to finish this thing." In Zechariah chapter 1, 1 through 6, you can put it on the screen. It basically is the declaration of the prophet saying, "Hey, let's get this thing together." But it's not uncommon to only go halfway. It's human nature. Even when Terah took Abraham and Lot out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, they were headed to the land of Canaan, but they only got to Haran, which is halfway. And he camped out. And not until Terah died did Abraham concede and go the rest of the way. Something in our life has to die. Something in our life has to leave us in order for us to complete the mission. There's a call to the body of Christ that we've got to return to the mission. We've got to return to the assignment that God has given to us. And so the prophet Zechariah cries out to them and says, "Listen, you need to return to me, to the Lord of hosts. And I'm going to return to you." In verse 4, "Do not be like your fathers to whom the former prophets preached, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds.' But they didn't hear and they didn't heed me." We have inherited a church that has been defeated. We have inherited a church that lacks power. We've inherited a church that where consecration and holiness have been absent. We've inherited a kingdom that doesn't look like the king of which it's supposed to be centered around. We have entered into a church age that is more comfortable with the world than we are with the king of that kingdom. Church, there's a time when we're going to have to recognize that there's a call to return. And the return is not a hard thing. The return's an easy thing. It's really only in two areas that God was calling Israel back. He was speaking to them and he said, "Listen, all I want you to do is return to the fear of the Lord." The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, reverence for God. In other words, reverence for who he is, reverence for what he is, and for what he is doing, what he has done in our life. To acknowledge the fact that without God, we can do nothing. But that through Christ, we can do all things who strengthens us. It is that reverence or that acknowledgement that God is God and we must submit to him. Jacob declared the fear of the Lord is wisdom. He said, "Depart from evil is understanding." That's what we have to return to. It's returning to understanding. It's departing from evil. It's allowing the wisdom of the Lord to be paramount in our lives. It's what will result is a protection against sin. Simply put, the psalmist in Psalm 36 and verse 1 said that when I hid my sin or when I transgressed in my heart, it was because I did not fear the Lord. Sin today is going to creep into our lives when we lose the fear of God. The fear of God is going to prohibit us from walking in disobedience. So we must once again recover the fear of the Lord. We've got to return to the fear of the Lord. But Matthew chapter 10 and 28 says this, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body into hell." The writer of Ecclesiastes says this in chapter 12 and 13, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all and all." Secondly, God's calling us not only to the fear of the Lord, but he's calling us to confess our sin, to openly acknowledge the fact where we've missed the mark. God is willing to forgive us. God is willing to restore us. But we have to return to the fact that we must confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad about that? I'm excited about that because God is faithful and he will do that for us. Zechariah the prophet asked in chapter 1 in verse 5, he said, "Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever?" They had no fear of the Lord. They only did half of the work that I've called them to do. You know, it seems like today commonplace is for a family or an individual to give their life to Christ, and they begin to grow in Jesus, begin to memorize the Bible, they begin to become a worshiper, and suddenly something happens where they stop their progress. And they kind of flatline for the rest of their existence as a Christian. Maybe you've experienced that. But listen, this isn't the time to be content to go halfway. Can you imagine the temple of God commanded by the Lord of hosts, the creator of heaven and earth, to be rebuilt? And it stood there for 14 years, only completed 50% of the way. When I think about my own life, I look around and I say, where am I only 50%? Where have I gone halfway, but I haven't gone all the way? God, I'm not content to only go half the way. I want to go all the way with you. People can say what they want. I want to go all the way in my worship. You can sneer and you can smile and you can laugh and think that I'm eccentric or maybe I'm extreme. But I've learned something. Half-baked worship never touches the throne of God. Halfway, heartfelt expression of praise, really, heaven will never touch my life. It's when I am consumed by the very presence of a living God, when I abandon myself to all restraint, when I begin to let go and let God, that I begin to experience the fullness of the Lord. How many really want to experience His fullness? Wow. Amen. We want to experience His fullness tonight. So we want to confess our sin. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who's bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for making intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice for the righteous man. Therefore, as fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they've rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despise the word of the Lord, despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against His people. He has stretched out His hand against them and stricken them, and the hills trembled. God said, wait a minute, this is an upside generation who somehow have begun to claim that evil is good and good is evil, that light is dark and darkness is light, that bitter is for sweet and sweet is for bitter, and we're wise in our own eyes. This is a time we need to shake ourselves and say, my God, what is allowed to happen? How have we come so far from God? How have we allowed our churches to slip in such neutrality and accepted mediocrity and accepted worldliness and the standards that have come into the church only so we can attract a crowd that really doesn't want God? They just want to appease their own conscience. Driving around in the city the other day, I saw a sign of an invitation of a new startup church, and the whole title was simply this: Unchurch. We're the Unchurch. Well, why would I want to come to your Unchurch? Jesus said, the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against the Unchurch. Now, He didn't say that. He didn't say rethink church. He didn't say redefine church. He didn't say the new modern church. He didn't say a culturally relevant church. While methodology changes, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's still a cross that bleeds. There's still a Savior that died. There's still a Holy Ghost that descends. There's still a knee that needs to be bended. There still needs to be a confession of our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That message hasn't changed. That message hasn't changed. And so He's asking us to confess our sin. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3, Samuel spoke to the house of Israel, if you return with me to me with all your hearts and put away the foreign gods and the Ashereths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only, He will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you know what's on the other side of the confession of our sins? Deliverance. Deliverance from the harassment of the Philistines. deliverance from the intimidation of the Philistines. What's been intimidating you? What's been harassing you? Listen, confession of sin will bring deliverance from those things. It's time for us to live a delivered life. Not to go for deliverance, but to bring deliverance. Wherever we go, the liberty and the freedom of the Holy Spirit operating in and around our lives. James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10, it says he gives grace, more grace. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Listen, there's a lifting in the kingdom. There's a lifting for the heaviness that you may be experiencing. There's a lifting for your family. There's a lifting for your finances. There's a lifting for that depression. There's a lifting for sickness. There's a lifting for every lack that you and I may ever experience. And I believe it's on the other side of the confession of our sins. It's when we humble ourselves before the living God. When we realize that we need Him. And without Him, we can do nothing. And so tonight it's a returning to the fear of the Lord. It's a returning to the confession of our sins. The psalmist said in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no deceit. Watch this. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day, and my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I believe tonight the vitality of the body of Christ has eluded them. I believe tonight the strength of our own structure, the bones, the framework upon which this church was built. We don't know anymore about grandmothers that wake you up in the morning on a Saturday to begin to pray and to call upon a living God. We don't know anymore about grandmothers who are able to preach to you that just remember Jesus, just call upon Jesus. The church has lost its source of power and strength, and God is saying this, return unto me. And I will return unto you. He said, I acknowledge my sin to you. That's what the psalmist said. And my iniquity I've not hidden. I said, I confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave my iniquities. You see, there is a returning. And this returning is going to be powerful. I love the chapter Isaiah 55 and verse 11. We used to sing the song all the time. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. I said, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. And we used to sing that song as a hope. But let me tell you, there's a returning now of the people of God. The redeemed of the Lord, the ransomed of God must make a return back onto Zion again. It is the prophetic word for this generation. God's prophesying over your life and my life. And I want you to know you're on a comeback. You're on a comeback. You're coming back to Zion. You're coming back to the joy of the Lord. You're coming back to gladness on your head. You're coming back to a time in a life where sorrow and mourning are going to flee away. You've had enough of all of that, and you're ready to cash it in and turn it in for the glory of God. Amen? The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 50 said this, in those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, with continual weeping they shall come, and seek the Lord their God. I like this part. Look at this. They shall ask the way to Zion. Do you remember the song? Do you know the way to San Jose? Yeah. Do you know the way to Zion? They're going to ask people, hey, do you know how to get to Zion? Hey, do you know how to get to Zion? Hey, do you know how to get to Zion? If you were to ask the average church member that question tonight, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. How can you tell somebody to go somewhere that you've never been yourself? Why? Because we've adopted other locations and cities as a dwelling of choice. But the prophet Jeremiah said that we're going to go back to Zion. He said this, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. I know, you know, the way to Babylon. I know you know the way to Tyre. I know you know the way to Egypt. I know you know the way to Ephesus. I know you know the way to the cities that represent the carnal appetites of a man and a woman. But can I ask the question of the body of Christ tonight? Do you know the way to Zion? Can somebody tell me how to get to Zion? Can somebody show me the way? You see, we have inherited a church that has lost its way. We have leaders who have lost their way. We have preachers who have lost their way. And the blind is leading the blind, and there's a remnant emerging inside the church that says, I don't want to follow you there anymore. I don't want to dwell there anymore, because God's choosing is to dwell in Zion. Hallelujah. So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. We have been sold into bondage. We have found ourselves in the middle of a city called Ephesus. It's religious profiteering. We have created a kingdom where we sell religious goods for profit. He didn't say we're going to return to Ephesus. It's time to leave Ephesus. It's time to leave religious profiteering and marketing and trying to get rich off the body of Christ and to build your own little kingdom. Get out of Ephesus! He didn't tell us to go to Athens. I know the kingdom of God knows its way to Athens. Athens was the intellectual community of its day. It was where we worshiped our own knowledge. We didn't need God. We didn't have time for God. We had our education. We became our own God. Tyre was a place of commercialism and materialism. It was the marketplace of the world. The church knows all the success tips they can possibly know. They know all the scriptures of how to get a hundredfold increase. But do we know how to confess sin? Do we know how to revere the Lord in reverence? Do we know how to do that? No, we don't know how to do that. But we know how to sow 1,000 to reap 100,000. We know how to give and to get. We know how to become materialistically minded. But do we know the way to Zion? It's a time to return unto Zion. Not to Egypt. Not to Egypt. We know the way to Egypt. It's a place of bondage. God's people sitting in church, hooked on cigarettes, hooked on drugs, hooked on pills, hooked on alcohol, hooked on pornography, hooked on themselves, hooked on anything but Jesus. We know the way back to Egypt, but do we know the way to Zion? Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return unto Zion. Get out of Egypt. Get out of Ephesus. Get out of Tyre. Get out of Babylon. Babylon was the idolatrous capital of the world. We set up our own gods. We've worshipped idols. We know how to get to Babylon. We've been living in Babylon. But it's time to get out of Babylon. Do you know the way to Zion? I got to find somebody that can guide me and lead me and take me from where I'm at into the place of God's glory and His presence, that I want to get to Zion. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask this question tonight. Have you broke off your engagement with the world yet? Have you pulled the ring from your finger? Have you thrown it in the face of your former lover? Have you walked away and say, my God, I can't believe I almost married the world. I almost became one with the world. I have to leave it. You know, you can always tell you're on your way to Zion because suddenly you become serious about the very things the world cares nothing about. You can tell you're on the right path when you're hungering and thirsting for the things the world won't even give a second glance toward. And most of the church. It's a way to measure our path. It's a way to measure our direction. Something came on them in Isaiah 51 and 11. If you could put the verse back up, you've got to look at this. It says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. I believe singing, joyful singing, joyful worship ought to be a part, as Leon was talking about, of the Monday through Sunday experience. It ought to never leave our lips, never leave our hearts. It is the release of the prophetic, the release of the power of God into a generation. Because out of our own hearts, the ransomed begin to proclaim the joy of the Lord through our lives. But this is what he says. With everlasting joy on their heads. Watch this. They shall obtain joy and gladness. I want you to know what the joy of the Lord is. I want you to understand what gladness and the joy of the Lord is in Scripture. Something is coming on you, and something is coming off of you. And you want what's coming off of you out of you. And you want what's coming on you all over you. As a matter of fact, you ought to lift your hands up right now and say, God, cover me in joy and gladness. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm telling you tonight, church, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Let me tell you what's coming on you. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. When you've made a choice to leave intellectualism, materialism, bondage, lust of the flesh, religious profiteering, you've decided to go up to Zion, something's going to come on you. It's Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Listen, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Here it comes. Here it comes. Are you ready? Can you handle it? Are you ready? Look at it. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Watch this. That the blessing of Abraham, watch this, might come on you. Come on you. Come on you. It's time for you and me to have something come on us. You know why you got joy? You know why you got gladness? Because the blessing of Abraham's come on you, Caesar. Woo! You got the blessing of Abraham all over you. I call you blessed, Hector. In the name of Jesus, no matter what the doctor said, the blessing of Abraham is on you. Hallelujah. You shall come with singing unto Zion. Huh? Everlasting joy shall be upon your head, boy. Huh? That's right. Come on. Joy and gladness has come upon the body of Christ. What is the joy and gladness of God? Go back to Deuteronomy with me. In chapter 28, beginning in verse 3. Here's the joy. Here's the gladness. Blessed. Say blessed. No, say it like this. Blessed. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds and the increase of your cattle. Blessed shall be your basket. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you come out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up to you to be defeated. Yeah. Defeated before your face, and they shall come out against you one way. This is the part I was trying to get to. They shall come out against you one way, but they shall flee before you seven ways. You ask me why I'm happy? Because I got something on me. You ask me why I'm singing? Are you kidding me, Baba? I got the blessing of Abraham all over my life. Woo! The Lord will command blessing on me, my storehouses. Set my hand. He'll bless me in the land which the Lord has given me. Doesn't matter where I go, I'm blessed. You put me in a desert, that thing's going to bloom. You could put me in the worst business in the country and it's going to become number one. You could put me in the bad situation. It doesn't matter because bad can't handle me because I've got the blessing upon me. I'm returning unto the Lord. There is benefit in returning, man. Why are you sitting in Athens? Huh? Why are you sitting up in Athens? Why are you over at Ephesus? Think you're going to make a few bucks off the church? Huh? Why are you sitting there content when you could be in Zion? The Lord says He's going to establish you as a holy people. He says He's going to grant plenty of goods to you. Fruit in your body, the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. He's going to open you good treasure. Everybody say good treasure. Good treasure. Oh yeah, good treasure. And the heavens to give rain to your land in season. Oh my, here it is. You shall lend to many nations. And you shall not borrow. How do I know you ain't living in Zion? Because you borrowing. We're putting an end to the borrowing. We're going to be the lenders. We're coming back to Zion. We're getting out of Egypt. We're getting out of the world system. We're going back to Zion. Wait a minute, there's more. The Lord will open your good treasure, but watch this. He will make you the head and not the tail. Some of us are going to have to get used to it. We've been so used to being wagged around all the time, we don't know what it's like to lead the way. All we know is how to follow. Your following days are over. You are about to become the leader in where you go. You are about to go first. God said, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. Come on, shout, I'm the head and not the tail. Woo! So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I've commanded you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. You see, something's coming on you when you return to Zion, but something's coming off of you. It's time for the body of Christ to get some stuff off of them. And here's what the Bible said in Isaiah 55. Put it back up there. Isaiah 55 in verse 11. He said, gladness and joy shall come upon you. But then he said this, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You've just lived your last depressed day of your life. You've just lived your last down in the dumps day of your life. Everybody say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you later.
Yeah.
No, I won't see you later. Goodbye, good riddance. Fleeing, sighing, and sorrow is going to flee away. I never want to see you again because joy and gladness came up on me. Church, I'm telling you, we return to the Lord. We're going to begin to see a different people. We're going to see a different church. We're going to be a different generation. This thing's coming off of us. Return, O redeemed. The day is coming when you will be sorry no more for anything. The Lord told me to tell you. He said, tell them that all regret is fleeing away. All of your past apathy, all of the indifference that you may have experienced, all of that shallowness, all of that idleness in the kingdom of God, it's over. Those days are gone because this is a time of the returning of God's people back onto Zion. Do you want to go? I know the way back to Zion. I know the way back to Zion. You say, what is Zion? Zion is the church. It's the blood bought. It's the redeemed. It's the Holy Ghost filled. It's the non-compromising, non-adulterating people of God that stand in faith regardless of their circumstances. I want to go there. here. I want to be part of that kind of a church. I want to be that church. Come on, give God praise in here. We want to be that kind of church. His purpose is that his purchased possession should be possessed by the presence of the power of the Spirit of God. His purpose is that his purchased possession should be possessed. I command you to be possessed tonight of the Holy Spirit. I mean, act as weird as you want to. Act as joyful as you want to. Act as faithful as you want to. Act like Jesus. Come on, let him out. Let him out. Be like him in every way. Think like him. Talk like him. Come on, this is the time when the church is on its way back to Zion. Come to Zion. It's the reestablishment of the local church, of which we become bored with. We've had to redefine. We've had to reorganize. We've had to remarket it. We've had to repackage it. You know why? Because nobody wants it. We're bored with it. It's got no power. It's got no relevancy. You come in and most of the people look in there like they'd rather not be there. There's no joy. Huh? Come on, there's no joy. There's no shouting. When you get in an atmosphere when there's joy and there's shouting and there's jumping and there's dancing and spontaneous breakouts of uncontrolled praise, people get nervous because they're not used to it. They don't know how to define it. They don't know what to do with it. I was preaching in the East this morning, and my God, I got scared. I did. I was preaching. I didn't know what I said. It wasn't that good to me. And some of you Easterners are here tonight. You scare me too. They came all the way from like Chesterland. Wherever they're from. I don't know where they're from. They're a long way. And they began to shout and clap their hands. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And some of them stood up and began to wave at me like I was saying goodbye and they were saying goodbye. I don't know what they were doing, but they were shouting at me and waving at me. Yeah, like that. Yeah, like that. Right there. And I said, oh my God, what are y'all doing? My God, they're going crazy. And then I said, sit down. I'm not done yet. I started preaching again. I tried to get another word out. And all of a sudden, it was like a roar. It just started with a little here. And did you start it, Mary? I think you did. Patty, did you get? You guys started. It started again. It erupted spontaneously. And they began to shout. And the whole place was resounding with the praises of a living God. And all I could do was stand back and let God be God. I said, Jesus, woo. I said, I got to get used to this Zion thing. I'm used to Athens. I'm used to Ephesus. I'm not used to Zion. Do you know the way to Zion? Do you want to go back? Do you want to return? Do you want to see it again recovered? Let me tell you something. I make a declaration to you tonight. Don't you sit there and think your family are going to think you're crazy. They already think you're crazy. So what you worried about? You're worried about somebody coming to church and speaking in tongues next to your father. Standing there, and he's like standing there, and you're worshiping. He goes, and Dad's like, you worried about that, aren't you? You worried about somebody breaking out in praise up on the platform when they start dancing and shouting, and pretty soon they're twirling around, and you say, Mom, that doesn't normally happen. We're not like that all the time. Listen, stop worrying. Stop making excuses. Stop redefining the church. It's all right. We're going back to Zion. I want to go back to Zion. We don't even know. Can I do this? Don't get scared. We don't even know what Zion looks like. I'm hungry for it, man. I got a hungering to go home. I got a hungering to get back to my roots. I got to go back. I got to go see it. I've got to touch it. I've got to taste it. I've got to get back and hear His voice again. I've got to be among the angelic hosts as they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." I'm sorry, I can't have church as usual. I got to have church unusual. I've got to be a man that's possessed by the fire and the power of a living God, because I believe that God is who He said He was. Come on, church. They shall return with singing unto Zion. It's the local church. Yeah. The local church. No wonder nobody wants to come to the local church. It's like the local graveyard. Who wants to go there? Unless you're burying a loved one, that's the only time you go. Of course, some of y'all like to go there and talk to mom. She can't hear you. We're like half dead in church talking to the dead. No wonder nobody wants to come. No wonder we canceled Sunday nights. No wonder we can't have a revival meeting. No wonder nobody wants to come at 11 o'clock at night and praise God all night long with a pillow and a sheet and a blanket. Come on, church. You already tuned Him out when He said that. You said, "My God, I ain't coming to that. Blessed be the name of God. Ain't no way I'm coming to that." That's because you're still up in Babylon. That's why. That's because you're still over at Ephesus. That's because you still like Athens. But oh, I get you over to Zion, and you'll be one to be there all night long. You won't be able to stop praising Him. You won't be able to stop glorifying Him. You won't be able to stop thanking God. You'll get your praise on. You'll get your dance on. You'll get your shout on. And before you know it, your kids won't even know who you are. Let me wrap this up, because there's four aspects that have to be reestablished. Zion is a place where the gospel is restored to the people. Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl deserves the right to hear the gospel uncompromisingly preached. There needs to be a hell preached. There needs to be a heaven preached. There needs to be the blood preached. There needs to be sin preached. Every man, every woman deserves to hear the gospel. Shout the gospel. How have we redesigned church so we take out the altar? We have deconstructed the altar. Tore it down and take it to the side room. That if you want the gospel, you have to get it privately. I'm sorry. Jesus didn't hang on a cross privately. The Bible said He was suspended between heaven and earth. He was made naked and laid bare for all the world to see. And you don't have the guts to give an altar call in your church. It's a church. It needs the gospel. What is wrong with you? It's Zion. It's the blood. It's the cross. Another aspect of Zion is not only the gospel, but it's truth. Don't soft soap it for me. You don't have to win me over. You don't have to make me comfortable. You don't have to worry about my money as to whether or not I'm not going to give it to you or I'm going to give it to you. Just give me the truth. Tell me about sin. Tell me about hell. Tell me about heaven. Tell me about holiness. Come on, somebody shout truth. Somebody shout, "I want the truth." The people are tired of lies. They're tired of compromise. They're tired of preachers making excuses on Christian TV talk shows about why they couldn't stay married. I don't care if you're not watching anyway. You got to tell the truth. What happened to the truth? And you stand up there all belly aching about how hard it was. I was so hard and I was going through a dark time. So we gave up on our marriage and now we're happier. He has his life and I have mine. But you know what? We're still called of God. We're still anointed. And the whole gallery sits up there and applauds. What happened to the truth? We don't care about the truth anymore. We just play cover up. We play half truth. I know you don't like this preaching, but I can't help it. I'm talking about going back to Zion. I'm not talking about going to Babylon. I'm talking about going to Zion. And the reason why it bothers us is because we've been to Babylon so long, we don't know what Zion is. Shout the gospel. The gospel. Shout the truth. The truth. Third, Zion is a place of living water. Living water. We got elders that don't pray in the Holy Ghost. We got preachers that don't talk about tongues anymore. Don't want to offend Mr. Big Bucks in case he doesn't agree with it because it's not his theological perspective. Well, I'm sorry, sir. This is the church. This is not the Kiwanis Club. It's not the Lions Club. It's not your community organization, nor is it your marketing firm. It's the church. And we believe in living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Therefore, the redeemed shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Living water. Come to the fountain. One drink will change your life forever. But we have been satisfied to drink at the broken cisterns of man. We got to get back to Zion. Lastly, let me quit this thing. The church, Zion, is not only a place of the gospel, not only a place of the truth, not only a place of the living water, but it's a place of service to the King. God, help us. We beg people, please help us. When you're in Zion, you're compelled to help. When you're like Simon, and you see Jesus fall under the weight of the cross, you pick it up. I don't need no Roman soldier to make me do it. I did it because I've been too close to him. I've seen his suffering. I've seen the weight that's been on his back. I see the price that he has paid. And it is an honor, sir, for me to bear up underneath the weight of the sin of the world, to carry your cross but a few steps of the way. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall come with singing unto Zion. Huh. Can you help us, usher, just for a month? If you could just help us for 1 month. Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to pay you if you just would. Okay, we'll pay you. We'll pay you to play. We'll pay you to sing. We'll pay you to usher. We'll pay everybody. Is that good? No, that sounds like Babylon to me. I didn't mean to do this. I was just going to let Leon keep singing and we just slide out the door because I knew this was coming. And I thought, there's no real reason for me to do this and get all sweaty again tonight. There's no reason for me to spit on the front row and walk around like some maniac preacher and get into people's business. And yeah, we have to beg people to help. Can you help us? Can you help us clean? Can you help us paint the building? Please help us paint the building. Please. We're tired and we're worn out. Can you help us, please? Don't shout me down. Right before church, I get an email from one of the elders in the east. He said, "Pastor, you got to help us. Just want to give you an update. I can't get no ushers. We don't have enough people. Can you make an announcement?" You don't want me to make that announcement. No, this is the church. It's a place where Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, the Son of Man did not come to this earth to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. It's a privilege, sir, for me to carry a book. It's a privilege for me to pick up a piece of paper off of this godly floor. It's a privilege for me to be able to come to the house of God and pull a weed. One weed. Give me one weed, Jesus. I'll pull that sucker for you. Because I'm in Zion. And you ain't going to tell me I can't. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. The old songwriter said, "Come and go with me to my Father's house." And I know it's late. We got school in the morning and all that stuff. I'm sorry. Let him sleep in tomorrow. I'm trying to win the younger generation. I want them to be my friends. Let them sleep in tomorrow. Sing it with me. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Sing it again. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, in everlasting joy. Deuteronomy 28, 3 through 14, shall be upon my head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and whining shall flee away. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Oh, come with singing on to Zion, in everlasting joy shall be upon. Come on, speed ahead. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Oh, and sorrow and suffering shall flee away. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Now just worship him and thank him tonight that he is bringing you back to Zion. Come on. It's your return onto the house of the living God. Hallelujah. We give you praise tonight, God. And we thank you for your deliverance. In Jesus' name. Finish this up, Pastor Troy.
Oh, come on, just go ahead and give them some praise.
Hallelujah.
You ready to return, church? Let's return tonight. Let's do it this way. As we conclude tonight, if you need prayer, our altar ministers are going to come forward now. Maybe we can have our altar ministers kind of sit over there on the sides. But if you would just like to return tonight, we'll sing us a song tonight that's lively as we return to an altar, as we return to a place where we know that God lives, where He reigns, and He's not dead. Believe that, church. You're ready to return. Well, come on, guys. Let's go to that place now. Altar ministers, if you'll come forward now, kind of make your way on the sides. If you just want to praise Him, if you just feel like tonight you want to end this evening with a return trip to an altar, this altar is open for you this evening. If you need prayer, if you have sickness in your body, Jesus is alive and He heals. If you need the baptism, the evidence of speaking in tongues with the Holy Spirit, these right here want to lead you in that prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity right now. Listen to me. Jesus came, He died. He hung upon a cross, He died, He was buried, and He was resurrected for you. So you could live for Him now. You could have salvation now. You could be promised heaven when you die, but you have the promise of bringing heaven here now while you live. That's salvation. And if you don't have that kind of salvation, Jesus wants to give it to you tonight. If you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've come tonight and He's not your Savior, you just need to come tonight. Up here right now. Don't wait. If you're here tonight and you're not born again in your heart and you know it, just come now. Don't wait for anybody else. Just come now. Just move out of your seats. If that's you, look, don't go to hell because you're just a little bit ashamed or you're just afraid. What are you afraid of? Just come now. If you've come to this place tonight and He's not your Savior, just come out of your seats right now and come to one of these, and they're going to lead you to the Lord tonight. Amen. If you just want to praise Him tonight, now's the time. Come on, church. Let's go.
Let's
live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. You're welcome to go or you're welcome to stay. God bless you.
Be into the Ancient of Days. All of creation, every nation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare Your glory. Every knee shall bow at Your throne. In worship You will be exalted, O God. And Your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.